his cards on the table, trying to make a name, looking for a miracle, looking for something that he does not know. Walking the streets and there's nowhere to go.
When a man's got a fight to keep on dreaming, and the whole world
is the Vinyl Garage.
And a one, and a two. There's a place where I can go, and that's where I wanna be. I'm saying goodbye to you good people, for I found a place for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gonna go way out,
way out.
That's where the fun is, way out,
way out.
That's where the sun is, way out.
Welcome to the Vinyl Garage. I'm Dave Nelson, your host, and for the next 60 minutes, we'll explore the lesser-heard side of rock, a world consisting of album cuts and B-sides, along with a healthy dose of vinyl history and commentary, from the blues of the 30s to today's new releases. We have a lot to do, so let's get started.
At present, music is one of the few places in this world that women have attained near parity with men. But when rock and roll was born in the mid-50s, that was nowhere true. Although their numbers have increased over the years, the role they play, even today, has not. They have been, for the most part, relegated to a singing role, lead or background. Playing any instrument in the band was rare. Fronting a band, rare. And an all-girl band, that was treated as a novelty, although many of them had the chops to be considered equals. This week's Vinyl Garage showcases women in rock, starting in the 60s and extending through the end of the next decade, from the all-girl band to those featuring the ladies in a major role, from the independent label regional garage bands to the major label Billboard charting acts.
You're the hurting kind.
You're the hidden kind.
I'm done.
Began the show with a killer set of all-girl bands, starting with the Bittersweets, a band from Dayton, Ohio, recording only one single for the James Testa label, Tima, a cover of Doug McCutcheon's Hurtin' Kind, the backside being Gershwin's Summertime. Originally, the songs recorded by Cleveland's Tulu Babies, who later became the Baskerville Hounds. I'm Going to Destroy That Boy was the second single by Manhattan's The What For, actually found its way to a major label on Columbia from 1966. Raylene and the Blue Angels covering Johnny Kidd and the Pirates' Shaken All Over, what appears to be their only single found on the indie Chucha label from Wisconsin, a rare rock release for a label best known for polka and ethnic cuts. The Liverbirds were from Liverpool, England, active from 1963 to 1968. They played in many of the venues and clubs that also featured the Beatles, Rory Storm, and other Liverpool groups, and following the Beatles' lead, going to Hamburg, Germany to perform at the Star Club. I have been a huge advocate of knowing where your music comes from and equally interested in knowing the origins of those who make the music. And the all-girl Pleasure Seekers is the origin of 70s rocker Suzy Quatro. Fronted by her and her two sisters, they played out all over the Detroit area in the mid-60s. It's interesting to note the tough girl image of the lyrics from the song What a Way to Die. Next, the Mod 4, and they were from the western side of Illinois, just south of Davenport, Iowa, which is where their two singles were recorded. Open Up Your Mind was their second release on the custom Mod 4 label.
Mm-hmm.
it wasn't all indie labels. The inclusion of the ladies as a frontman, so to speak, hit the major labels as well. And in 1966, you couldn't get more major than RCA. Which brings us to the Jefferson Airplane and their first LP, Takes Off. You may be thinking of Grace Slick at this time, and we'll get to her later. But she wasn't even a member of the Airplane yet. The role of female lead singer went to Signe Anderson. Although she lasted for only one LP, her signature tune, Chauffeur's Blues, left a lasting impression. She would leave shortly thereafter the birth of her first child, ushering Grace onto the airplane. Can't talk about women in rock without talking about the next lady, Janis Joplin. Upon breaking from Big Brother and the Holding Company, she formed the Cosmic Blues Band in 1969, releasing I Got Dem Old Cosmic Blues Again, Mama LP. The release was much maligned because of the direction she took towards blues and R&B and away from the rock of the Big Brother, employing horns of all things, something the Holding Company wouldn't do. From the album, a Janis composition, One Good Man.
Looking. Oh,
Heard from the independent, regionally popular, obscure ladies bands, and the better known, soon to be classified as classic rock bands, but next a band that never really existed, the Carrie Nations, the fictitious all-girl band from the film Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, who lip-synced to the real vocals of LA singer Lynn Carey. We'll hear Find It from the film, and Mr. Invitation, which is a cut from a Lynn Carey-fronted band called Mama Lion from 1972.
I turn my eyes to lunatic skies of red destruction, sunrise and morning empty. Hide my head. I've got to find a direction to follow. Something that's mine, not something I borrow. Each day I wait, heavy's the weight on me. Find it. I've got to find it.
It's the ladies' turn here on the Vinyl Garage.
Oh, I give it to ya. Give it to ya one time. Give it to ya two times. Because it makes me feel so fine. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah,
Yes.
only the third all-girl rock band to sign with a major label. Now, that was as of 1970. Fanny would garner two top 40 hits, record five LPs, and tour with just about everyone. Patty Quatro from the aforementioned Pleasure Seekers would eventually become a band member, and their cover of Cream's Badge would be their first hit in 1970, and that was found on their first self-titled LP. Now, I'm not a great big fan of Fleetwood Mac. Well, let me qualify that. Not a fan of the Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks years. But that being said, I've still included a cut, but before they joined the Mac, when they were known only as Buckingham Nicks. Released in 1973, the album would prove to be a commercial disaster, although it did get them noticed by Mick Fleetwood. The song Don't Let Me Down Again shows how influential the duo would be in the direction the Mac would take. One more thing, the Buckingham Nicks LP is one of only a handful of records never to be reissued on CD in the States. Today, much of the music we are force-fed has been premeditated to lighten each and every one of our wallets. But at one time, that was not the case. And when you ran into an artist that was the real thing, it was something special. The adage, what you see is what you get, wasn't more true than when Susie Quatro is mentioned. Her rough-talking, leather-clad, tough girl image begun with the aforementioned Pleasure Seekers, carried forward to her solo career, solidifying her Your Mother Won't Like Me attitude. Here's, not coincidentally, a song of the same name.
$19.95. Don't wait. Order now.
Have your credit card ready and call toll-free. 1-800-USA-1000. That's 1-800-USA-1000.
All right! and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
On the corner, you look so big and fine. I really wanted to go out with you. So when you smiled, I laid my heart on the line.
Heartburst
When you think of 70s all-girl bands, the Runaways should top the list. Full of punk and vinegar, they were hard to dismiss. Their first self-titled LP from 1976 scored them their first hit, Cherry Bomb, going to number one in Japan, where they were very popular. We heard the cover of the Velvet Underground's Rock and Roll, changing the original lyrics to mirror their hometown, L.A. You have to be careful what, from Patti Smith's catalog, you play on the radio. Any album consists of stuff that caused the FCC to come knocking. But on the cover of Springsteen's Because of the Night, she kept the expletives to herself, scoring a number 13 in the Billboard charts. Blondie's first single for the Private Stock label was X Offender. Originally titled Sex Offender, Private Stock insisted on the title change, releasing the single in 1976, but no one noticed, except Chrysalis Records, who offered the band an album deal. And the rest is history. And speaking of Chrysalis, enter Pat Benatar into the world of 70s Ladies That Rock. From 1979's In the Heat of the Night is a rearranged, rocked-up version of The Sweet's No You Don't. And if you want to know more about Pat Benatar, her memoir, Between a Heart and a Rock Place, is a must-read. We're closing this week's festivities with Akron transplant Chrissy Hynde and The Pretenders. If you let the album run until the last cut, you'd hear Mystery Achievement. Although the song never was released as a single, it still got heavy airplay. This week as we explore the ladies of rock. The Garage can be reached at Facebook/Vinyl Garage Show or directly at vinylgarage@oh.rr.com. So until next week, this is Dave Nelson. As always, thanks for listening.